echo what Pastor Rebecca just shared about our Christmas service, these guys are a tool for you to put in your pocket, put in your purse, put in your back, wherever you carry around. And again, I want to challenge you, as she did, grab a couple, two or three of these, and carry them around all week. And ask the Lord, God, who would you have me invite to our gathering for Christmas? Because it's one of those times a year that folks that might not normally be interested or say yes to an invitation to come, they're going to come. And it's a great opportunity for them to hear the love of Jesus Christ and what the real reason for Christmas is. And so I'm glad that you're here today. How many of you guys, are you guys doing well today? Yeah. You guys are a little quiet. You guys doing good? How many of you doing really good? Okay, good, good. I'm doing really well, all things considering. I just spent 8 hours in the car yesterday with 4 children and 2 dogs, which is always a fun challenge. But we're on our way back home, unfortunately, from a funeral service for my grandmother. So if you've ever been to one of those kind of services, you know it's a taxing emotional time. But it's one of those things that those sort of services are reminders for us of just how short our life is, and that we only get one turn to make our life count, to make a difference with our lives. And that's exactly what I wanted to speak with you about this morning, is really making a difference with our lives. Because I believe that God has created each and every one of us with a divine purpose, with a future. And though God's got a plan, he has not made us to be robots. He's given us a choice whether we will partner with his plan, whether we will say, God, I want to try to do things your way. I want to use the gifts and the abilities you've put within me to make a difference with my life. And so that is the question. And this morning, I want us to look at that. If you have your notes, you can pull them out. The title of my message is See Like Jesus. And before we dig into the word today, I want to ask you a personal question. I love to ask you personal questions, but how many of you with a show of hands would say, I'm a detail person. I like the details. I pay attention to the details. How many with a show of hands? A couple of you. Wow, not as many as I thought. Okay. How many of you, you're like the opposite. Like, I don't care about the details. In fact, I forgot to even raise my hand because that's a detail, right? Is that you? Okay, cool. It's good. Well, this morning, we're going to do a test. We're going to get to decide and determine that. We're going to do a little study, and maybe you've seen this online before, but I'm going to have you watch a quick video in just a second to see how perceptive and attentive you really are. Hopefully, we have the video over there. But I want you to pay attention to the details and listen to what he asked you to do. Why don't you check this out? Go ahead.
The monkey business illusion. Count how many times the players wearing white pass the ball.
All right, the correct answer, can anyone guess it? Does anyone know the number of times they did that? A lot. 16. 16 is the correct answer. And I heard some laughter, so let me ask you, did any of you spot the gorilla that walked by in the middle of that video? How many of you did not see the video? Tell the truth, you didn't see a gorilla walk by the screen. A couple of you didn't. Yeah, for those of you who have never heard or seen this video before, about 50% of people miss the gorilla that walks through the screen. But those of you who might have already seen a video like this, you might have seen the gorilla, but did you notice that the curtain changed color? No. And did you also notice that one of the players on the black team left the screen and didn't come back? Did you notice those things? If you missed them, why don't you actually take a look? Let's watch it again. We're going to repeat it in slow-mo so you can watch it again. Watch the color of the curtain. Go ahead. Hopefully we've got it. Some of you missed the gorilla. You didn't believe me. And the curtain changes from red to gold, and the black player leaves the screen. See, sometimes we miss other things. You can cut back to that. I love these sort of demonstrations because I believe they illustrate for us what we already know about ourselves, is that we miss so very much of what's happening right in front of our eyes, don't we? There's things that we can see as eyewitnesses and still miss so many different details. And it's something that scientists call inattention blindness. It's something that is really a strength, but it can also be a weakness. And here's the idea. See, our brains can't possibly compute all of the stimuli that comes at us through our ears and our noses and our eyes and our sense of touch. And so with our eyes, for example, we simply ignore most of what comes into our brain. We don't pay attention to it. We become blind to those things. See, it's like this. If you were, maybe you've had this experience, if you're in the market for a new car and you start thinking, man, I really want to get a white Toyota Corolla. Now, what happens when you get on the 118 or the 405? You start seeing that car everywhere, don't you? You're like, hey, there's one. Did they start multiplying these cars? Where did they all come from, right? And that's because our brains are now starting to look for that particular thing. And there are things that happen right in front of our eyes, even things we think that we're focusing on. Like, man, some of you were really focusing hard and you missed the color change and you missed the gorilla that walked through. We miss things when we're focusing. And I want to ask you the question, what are the God-sized things that perhaps we're not seeing with our eyes, that we're missing? What are the things that God has right in front of your vision, maybe in your peripheral vision, maybe right in front of your eyes, that you're not seeing? See, because I believe God wants to give us a new vision to see things and people that he's placed right in front of us, people and things that we might have missed before. He wants to give us a new vision, maybe a spiritual sort of glasses to see exactly what he wants us to see. And that's why the message today is titled, See Like Jesus. Because there are things that we are focusing on in life, and it doesn't matter how good they are or how important they are, but they have a way of mentally putting blinders on to other things. And sometimes if we will not intentionally refocus our eyes and look for those God moments, we'll miss them. And so we've got to make an intention about saying, God, I want to see as you see. And so last weekend we looked at a guy who was physically blind and Jesus restored his sight. This morning I want to look at a different sort of man because I believe that God wants to restore our spiritual vision and give us eyes to see people the way that he sees people. And today we're going to look at a man that was a lame man. He sat on the side of the road and begged for money all the days of his life. And people saw him, but no one saw him. People saw him, they were watching the things around him, but they missed him. He was lost in the middle of those things. Like many of us can feel at certain times that he was unseen. And so I want to talk about that because perhaps in his story, we find our own story. Maybe you found yourself feeling overlooked or unseen. Maybe just like this man, people have been all around and there's been a hustle and a bustle. And maybe even this Christmas season, you felt this way. Or Christmas is a reminder that, man, people see me, but they don't really see me. People walk by and they might see the big picture and I'm sitting there, but they don't see me. And I want to encourage you, if that's you this morning, God sees you. And he wants to give you eyes to see people. People just like you, people that feel the same way as you. Or perhaps you've walked by people or circumstances that God has created you for. He's created you with a divine purpose to see. And for one reason or another, we just walk past them. Because God has created us with a purpose. And God wants us to use our lives to make a difference. That's, again, the primary reason we have our Next Steps class, to help you to make a difference with your life, to understand what God has made you to do and use those gifts. But perhaps we miss the opportunities that are in front of us. And I believe God wants to give us new eyes. See, the man we're going to look at, if you have a Bible, you can turn with me to Acts chapter 3. We'll get there in a second. The man we're going to look at is a man that was unseen. That's Jesus. I'll take it. We're going to look at his story, a man that was desperate for a healing touch from God. And though he was desperate for a healing touch from God, he didn't expect it. He didn't have the hope to even ask for it, but he needed a touch from God to heal him. And you may be in this place today, and like this man, you're in need of a touch from God, a breakthrough, a spiritual breakthrough, or a physical breakthrough, some sort of healing. And I believe that God is the same. Jesus Christ, as our scripture over my head says, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the same Jesus who healed this man through the power in his name can heal today and in this place as well. So that may be you today. So let's look at Acts chapter 3. We're actually going to read verses 1 through 8. We're going to stop at verse 8. And it says this. Now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a man, lame from birth, was being carried, whom they laid daily at the temple that is called the Beautiful Gate. Say daily.
Daily.
They were laying him there daily at the temple called the Beautiful Gate to ask alms of those entering the temple. He was a beggar. Verse 3, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked to receive alms. And Peter directed his gaze at him. Peter saw him. He saw him maybe for the first time. Maybe he'd walked by him 1,000 other times, but Peter saw him. As did John, and said, "Look at us." And he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said this. He said, "I have no silver and gold, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and raised him up. Say, raised him up. He raised him up. And immediately his feet and his ankles were made strong. And leaping up, he stood and began to walk. He entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. Say those three words with me. Walking and leaping and praising God. See, I believe God wants to do some breakthroughs in some of our lives where we have been sitting for so long, and he wants to raise us up. That we might be walking again, that we might be leaping again, that we might be praising God again in a new way. See, I believe that there's something powerful about this man's story because he wasn't just walking into the temple. He was leaping. He was doing his happy dance. Any of you guys got a happy dance? You know what I'm talking about? Something really good happens. Woo! See, all of my boys, Ethan, you're here, so you know. All of my boys, when they eat something good like ice cream, and they're like, woo! They're like doing a little jig. They're doing their happy dance. And I imagine this guy, man, he wasn't just walking. He was leaping. And he was praising God. This man who sat on the side of the road his entire life, he was just looking for something physical. But here's the deal. Jesus sees you, my friend. He sees you and he wants you to learn to see like him. See, I'd imagine that there's a lot of people going on their way to church every single day. They were going to temple. But they missed this guy. They didn't see him. And just like these disciples, maybe had walked past him a million times, they didn't see him as God seen him. See, because what does God see in this man? He sees his son. He sees a man that's valuable, a man that's worthy of love and acceptance and gifts, gifts of grace and mercy. And Jesus sees us, and he wants us to see as he does. What I love about Peter and John, man, they walked with Jesus. They saw Jesus, man, he had important stuff to do, right? He was going places to do important things. And Jesus all the time would stop and he would see someone. He would see someone that was hurting, someone that was broken, someone that was maybe bleeding or they had a disease or they had a leprosy or they had something else, and he would see them. And these young men, they saw that as well. Peter and John, they learned from Jesus how to see people as God sees people. And so I want to give you three ideas, three observations from our scripture today on how we can learn to see as Jesus sees. If you have notes, you can fill out these notes. The first one is this. To see like Jesus, we have to make ourselves available. Say available.
Available.
We have to make ourselves available because there's something remarkable that takes place when we will simply come to God and say, God, I'm available. God, I'm here. God, I'm willing to do whatever it is you want me to do. There's something powerful that can happen when we will position our hearts with the sort of posture that says, God, I know that I've got my agenda, right? I've got the schedule of what I'm supposed to do and the appointment I'm needing to get to or the job that I'm supposed to be at or even on vacation, the things that I've planned and prepared and that I decided I wanted to do. But we've got to be intentional about saying, God, nevertheless, I know I've got my plans, but I want your will to be done. I want to do what you want to do. That's a prayer that we pray every single gathering before every single service as a church. See, because we prepare, we plan out the worship songs, and as a teacher, I practice and prepare what I want to teach. But at every morning, I want to say this prayer, God, it's not what I want to do, but what you want to do. Because there's something amazing that will happen when we will simply make ourselves available to God. When we will say to God, God, I've got an agenda. I've got a plan. I've got, you know, If I was writing my story, I know what the next chapter would say. But nevertheless, God, it's not what I want to do. What do you want to do? I want to become available to you. And it doesn't matter if it's your work schedule or your vacation schedule or even your worship schedule. God, what is it that you want to do? See, we have to make space. We have to make space for God. We've got to make space for God to interrupt us. Some of us are so busy that we don't have space for God to interrupt us. Like, God, you can interrupt me next week. My calendar's a little more free then. But right now, I'm a little too busy. But we have to make space for even God to interrupt us, even in our worship schedule. What I love about Peter and John is that they got this. They were not too busy to stop. They were not too busy to see this man. See, they might have walked right past him on any other day, but for one reason or another, maybe the Holy Spirit was nudging their heart, hey, stop. Have a conversation with this man. And so they did. See, they were going up the temple at the hour of prayer. They were going to church, right? Peter and John, man, they were no strangers to going to the temple. No strangers to walking past this gate that the Bible declares he was sitting at daily. He was there every day. So they had walked past this guy, and they were probably in a hurry. Do you know how I know? Because they were going to church. And I don't know what it is, but we're always late for church, right? Like, we're always running late. Come on, guys. Come on now. You know, we start at 9:30 this year. Actually, next year, starting January 1, we're going to start at 10. Give you guys a little extra time to get here because we want you to be here. I probably shouldn't have even told you. Just pretend like we didn't say that. Because we're always in a rush to get to church. Am I right? Can I get an amen in the house? And there's something about it. When I'm late, I ain't happy. You know what I mean? When I'm running late, hey, don't know you. No amens from the front row. See, when I'm late, I have no supernatural joy, right? The fruit of the Spirit. I don't have any of those. I don't have joy. I don't have patience. I don't have a lot of kindness. Because I'm late. I'm trying to get there. That guy who's growing in front of me really slow, he's in my way, right? Maybe it's just me that feels that way. But when I'm late, I want to get where I need to be. Whether that's to work or it's to a vacation. You know how stressed sometimes we get just getting out of town to go on vacation? Like, I got to get there so I can relax. Come on. Maybe you don't feel that way. Feels good to get it out, though. But even when we're late for church, man, we're like, I've heard some of the most biggest disagreements between couples on their way to church because we're late. And it's your fault, right? It's always his fault or her fault. It's someone's fault. But we can get those things. I want you to imagine the freedom that we might experience if we would simply make the discipline of creating some space. Creating some space in our calendar, creating some space in our just our life, the rhythms of our life, that we didn't have to be running late. Imagine the opportunities that God would have to open our eyes to see people if we weren't so stinking late. Run into church and run into work and run into vacation and run into do the things that we have to do. Imagine what God would be able to speak to us about. Imagine the God moments that could take place if we would simply have space for them. See, we've got to make opportunities for those things. To make ourselves available to God, one of the first things we've got to do is we've got to look down. We got to look down. If you're taking notes, that's one of the blanks. See, because so often, man, we're just looking. We just got our eyes on the prize. I've got to get there. I got to get to that appointment. I got to get to church. I got to get to Disneyland. I got to get wherever it is I'm going. And we've got to look down. And I'm not saying we got to look down on people, like look down your noses on them. But we've got to look down from those things. And what Peter and John did is they looked down. They saw this man. They might have missed him otherwise, but they looked down. They fixed their eyes on him. Now, we learn from this event that we've got to pay attention to the people around us. How often do we pass by someone on the street maybe, or just someone in a restaurant or someone around us, and we don't even see them? We don't even give them a second thought. See, if it's a homeless person, we might see their clothes or their bike or their shopping cart or their sign or something else, but how often do we see them? How often do we see people? And maybe it's because we've been duped before. We've seen someone begging that didn't really need to beg. We can have a million excuses. There's a parable in the Bible about the Good Samaritan and the priest and the Levite. Man, they were hurried to go somewhere. They didn't have time to stop and help. And sometimes it's simply because we're not paying attention. Just like the video we saw, we have inattention blindness. We're not paying attention because we're not looking for people. But the God of the universe, he sees people. For God so loved the world and the people in the world that he sent Jesus. He sees us, he sees them, and he wants to give us eyes to see them as well. See, when Peter and John approached the beautiful gate, it would have been so easy for them to keep their eyes up, focused on where they were going, but they looked down. And to make yourself available to God, you've also got to look up. See, we've got to look down and around, but we've also got to look up. We've got to look to the God who gave us all good things. And there are times and seasons sometimes in our lives when it's so easy to allow our gaze to just be down. We use that phrase, I'm just feeling down, right? I got my eyes down. And there's times when we need to be reminded to lift our gaze up, to look up. Like this man, he didn't even want to look up. He was just, hey, can I have some money? And they said, look at us. We've got to lift up our eyes. There's times where we've got to do that same thing. Instead of just navel gazing, woe is me. You know, we've got to look up. See, there's something that's important about looking up. There's a reason that in every one of our gatherings, myself or one of our hosts, when we invite people to receive the love of Jesus Christ, to receive the love of Jesus for the first time, we invite them with every other head bowed and eye closed to look up. Why do we do that? Because there's something important about looking up. There's something important about that. There's nothing physical about it. It's not magical. But there's a posture of looking up that reminds us of a God who's above us, of a God who's bigger than us, of a problem that's below and a solution that is above. There's something important about reminding ourselves that there is a God who's above all things, who's able to help us in our time of needs. That's why churches throughout the ages, and this one included, are built with tall ceilings, with beautiful things up high, as an intentional effort to allow us to raise our eyes towards heaven as a subtle reminder that our help comes not from man, not even from the man standing in the front of the room, but it comes from the God who created all things and is above all things. Amen? See, we have to be reminded sometimes to look up. What is it that you're going through in your life right now? What is it that's got your attention fixed on the downward things? I want to just challenge and encourage you, look up. Find God. God is available and present to us all. We've got to look up to God and even look up to others as this poor man did. He needed to see Peter and John. So to see like Jesus, we've got to pay attention. And the second thing we've got to do is pay attention. We have to pay attention to what God is doing. See, some of us could get hit with a miracle right in the face and not even see it. You know what I'm talking about? Like this guy, he had no idea what was about to happen in his situation. But some of us need to start looking for God. We couldn't see a miracle if it wasn't the exact thing we were expecting, in the exact way we were expecting it, in the exact form that we wanted it to happen. See, when we need a miracle, we've got to look for God. What is the impossible situation that God wants to make possible in your life? Maybe it's a relationship you've been praying about being repaired or restored, or a weakness that God wants to help you overcome, or someone who's far from God and needs to be reached through your bold example. I believe God has things that he wants to do in your lives, but we must have the boldness to look for God, to look to God in those situations, to believe that God can do the impossible things, even when we can't even imagine it. See, accomplishing the impossible is all about seeing the invisible. So we've got to ask God for the boldness, for the faith to see him, even when our eyes can't focus on him. See, it takes a faith to do that. See, we serve a God who's able to do impossible things in our lives, things that naturally speaking would never be possible. He's a miracle-working God, and I believe he wants to do a miracle in some of our lives. But to be part of that process, we've got to pay attention to who's around us as well. Because I believe God wants to use some of us just like he used Peter and John. But we've got to pay attention to those people he's put in our lives. See, that's all about making a difference in our world. As I've shared over and over again, I believe God has made you to make a difference, to be a difference maker in your world. To do that, you're going to have to love radically as God loves radically. You're going to have to accept unconditionally as he accepts unconditionally. And you're going to need to bless unreservedly as he blesses unreservedly. See, we serve a God that loved us radically by sending Jesus Christ when we didn't have it all together, when we were still sinners, the Bible declares. He loved us radically, and he accepted us through his Son without any precondition, without any sort of thing that we had to do. He accepted us, to use a medical term, with our pre-existing conditions of sin, right? He didn't wait for us to get healed up before he accepted us. And a God who's blessed us, not because of anything we've done, but the Bible declares he's blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies. That's the sort of God we serve, a God who loves us. He loves us radically, and he accepts us unconditionally, and he blesses us unreservedly. And yet sometimes we're so stingy with our love. We're so stingy with our acceptance. We're so stingy with our blessing. And I believe a God would want to give us an idea and a perspective to see people the way that he sees people, as his children, as ones who are loved. See, God has put within you a purpose. You've got to discover what he's made you to do. That's what I love. All of our volunteer shirts say, I was made for this. And there's something important about knowing what you're made to do and doing what you're made to do. God wants you to make a difference with your life, to change the eternal trajectory of every man, woman, and child you meet. But to do that, you've got to make space for God. You've got to pay attention to those opportunities he's putting before you, because otherwise you'll miss them if you're not paying attention for them. See, God wants to make a difference in your life, and God wants to make a difference through your life, but you've got to pay attention to those things. And finally, to see like Jesus, you've got to ask God to give you faith. See, God invites each one of us into a relationship with himself. He calls us to intimacy with him, not just a book knowledge of him, but to a close and abiding relationship. Now, this man lived probably 40 years by the side of the road. Every day, day by day, his buddies would haul him down and set him down that he could beg. Yet God had a different plan for this man's life. See, I would imagine that at this stage of his life, he knew that this was what his life was going to be about. He would be carried by his buddies over to the corner to beg. And that was his deal. That's what he was going to do. But this man didn't even have the faith to ask God. See, when he saw these men of God walking into the temple, he didn't even ask them. He didn't even bother to say, hey, I need help. He didn't even have the faith to ask them to solve his real problem. See, he was sitting by the side of the road because he couldn't work, and he couldn't work because he couldn't even stand up. He was lame. Now, not just like he was lame. Like, no, like he couldn't walk. That's what lame means. He was lame and he couldn't walk. And instead of asking to be healed, he was just asking for a handout. He was asking for his own version of a miracle. But God had a better miracle in store for his life. See, he just wanted some cash. But God wanted to do something much, much bigger. God had a completely different plan for his life. And sometimes we need to ask God to give us a bigger faith. To say, God, I need to have more faith because I've just been asking you for a dollar here and there, but God, would you heal my legs so that I can go and work, that I might walk and jump and praise you as I enter into the temple? God, would you do something bigger than I can even imagine or have faith for? We've got to ask God to give us a bigger faith. See, this man could not even believe for his own healing, but he was looking for something else. And sometimes the healing that God wants to bring in our life is a different one than the one we're asking for. Sometimes we're asking God for something small, and he said, but I want to do something so much bigger, so much different than you had ever imagined in your life. But we've got to ask God, we got to have faith for those bigger miracles. See, we often focus on the temporal, the outward things, but God, He knows the source. He knows what we really need. And sometimes we've just got to have the faith enough to say, God, would you give me a bigger faith? And secondly, would you give me the right focus? We've got to allow God to give us the right focus. See, because we focus so very often on the wrong things, we can miss what's right in front of our face. Just like earlier, I told you to focus on those guys in the white shirts passing the ball. And so many of us, we just missed the giant gorilla that walked through the screen. We miss the color of the curtain change. We miss so much because we're focused on the wrong things. And in our prayer life, we can ask for the wrong things. We can ask for the things that we think we need or the things that we want. But it's important that we say, God, would you give me the right focus? Just as we talked about last week, Jesus said, you're asking the wrong question. Sometimes we have to just come to God in our prayer and say, God, would you help me to ask the right questions? I've been asking all the wrong questions. Would you help me to ask the right questions, God? See, in your daily prayer time, and you do have one of those, right? In your daily prayer time, and if you don't, you got to carve out some time in your calendar. You got to make some space to just talk with God. But in that time with God, you've got to begin by saying, God, would you give me the right focus? Would you help me to ask you the right questions? Would you help me to put my eyes on what really matters? In fact, as a church, we're going to be refocusing on prayer in 2017. As we approach January, I'm going to be inviting each one of us to do a 21-day of prayer and fasting as we just seek God and ask God, what are the right questions? God, what are the things that you're wanting me to focus on? God, what are the things you're wanting me to focus on in my personal life? God, what are you wanting us to focus on as a family? God, what are you wanting us to focus on? What are you wanting to do in our church? God, what are you wanting to do in our land as we pray for a new season and a new year? So we've got to intentionally ask God to give us the right focus as we pray. And thirdly, we've got to allow God to change us. See, you can know the right things to pray for, but unless God, you will allow God to change your heart, those circumstances are not going to get any better. We've got to make ourselves available to God and pay attention to what He's doing. And then we've got to ask God to do the thing that only He can do, to change us. See, the good news is that, friends, we don't have to be changed before God will love us or accept us, but we do have to ask God to help us to change, because He's the one that gives us the power to change, to heal us supernaturally. See, Jesus said these words. He said, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. He says that in John 10:10. See, this man was living, he was getting by, he was doing life. He probably thought, man, I'm just doing the best I can. But then an encounter with God changed his life forever. And I believe that Jesus wants to do that sort of work in your life, the sort of work that will change your life forever. He wants to give you an abundant and fruitful life. But the question is, will you receive it? Will you say, God, yes? I'm going to invite you in just a few moments to bow your heads and close your eyes as we respond to the Lord. But the question remains for you before we do. Are you willing to open up your eyes? So I'm going to invite you to close your eyes in a second, but are you willing to go out of this place and say, God, would you give me your eyes to see? Just as you did to John and Peter, would you show me the people that I need to talk to? God, would you give me the freedom to have space in my calendar? To be interrupted by you. I believe that God wants to interrupt our calendars this week, especially as we approach the Christmas season, as we walk out of this place with one of these cards in our hands, that we'd say, God, how do you want to interrupt my calendar this week? Who is it that you want me to love unconditionally and accept radically and bless unreservedly? God, who are those men and women in my life? Because you are the God who says you came to bring us life and life abundantly. God, I want that sort of life. I want to stop looking down at my hardships and difficulties. I want to look up and see you. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me as we close our time in response to the Lord?
As we conclude our time together today, this morning I want to just invite you, wherever you are at your spiritual journey, I want to encourage you with these simple words. Jesus is calling you. He sees you, no matter where you are or who else has walked past you. Jesus sees you right where you are. And he's inviting you to begin seeing your world the way he sees it, to begin seeing those people that are all around you, people that he sent you to make a difference with. He's inviting you to take the next step on your spiritual journey, to start following him, or take your next step of faith this morning in your pursuit of him. It doesn't matter where you've been or how you've messed up, your past or your present. God has a new future for you. The question is, will you take your next step into the new future that God has for you this morning? For some of you today, today will be the day that you make your first step of faith in receiving God's free gift of grace through Jesus for the first time. Or maybe some of you will decide to come back home after wandering away for a while. We're going to give you a chance to make that decision in just a moment, so if that's you, get ready. But first, I want to speak to those of you who are already following Jesus. Perhaps God was reminding you of the fact that before you can see a move of God, you've got to make yourself available to him. Maybe God was reminding you of one or two areas in your life where you're not open to God, not available to him. Perhaps you've tried before, just like that lame man at the gate, and you've given up hope. I want to assure you, God is in the miracle working business, but you've got to make yourself available to him this morning. For others of you, perhaps God was reminding you that you simply need to ask God to give you a bigger faith. Maybe you've just run out of steam and you need God to give you a fresh dose of faith. Would you be willing to ask him to give you faith this morning? Ask him to give you a bigger faith, to give you a new perspective and focus as you pray. I want to pray a prayer of blessing over you, that the God of heaven would fill you up with a new measure of faith this morning, a fresh outpouring of his spirit this morning that would propel you forward. If that's you, go ahead and pray with me right where you are. Our Heavenly Father, we just thank you that you are the God of miracles. You are the God that has come to be with us. You are the God that loved us even whenever we are in sin, God. You loved us before we were ever born, and you called us before then, God. So we ask right now, would you fill us afresh and anew with faith, God? Faith to see you, faith to do the things that you have asked us to do, God. Faith for the impossible, because you are God of the impossible. In Jesus' name, amen. Now finally, with every eye closed and every head bowed in this place, I believe that some of you need to take the first step of faith this morning, and that's to receive God's free gift of forgiveness and grace for the very first time. You're not here by accident. I believe that God brought some of you here to give you this free gift today. He wants to begin a relationship with you. If you haven't been walking in a relationship with Jesus Christ and you would like to admit to God your need for his forgiveness for your past, your need for his power for today, and your need for eternal life in your future, would you pray with me in just a moment? If that's you, I want to pray with you. Will you be bold enough to lift up your hand, lift up your eyes towards me so that I can agree with you in prayer this morning? I won't ask you to come down to the front or do anything else strange, but I want to agree with someone in this place this morning. If that's you right now, would you please lift up your hand? Let me see you. I see you. Church, can you repeat this prayer with me and with those who are praying it for the very first time this morning? Repeat after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. Please forgive my sins and give me the gift of eternal life. I ask you into my life and heart to be my Lord and Savior. I want to serve you always. In your name I pray. Amen. Can we celebrate with those who said yes this morning? Now with that, we are concluded for this morning, but before you go ahead and stand to your feet. I'd like to pray a prayer of blessing over you before you leave. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for bringing us here this morning, God. We know that you have a purpose that is far greater than anything that we have seen in our life yet, God. And we know that you will bring us into that purpose. God, would you give us faith to walk out in everything that you have called us to, Lord? Would you be with us this week as we go about our week? Lord, remind us of you, God. Help us to see with your eyes those people that you have set in our path, Father. And Lord, I pray that next week as we gather together, there would be more of us, Father, more people that we've invited that can receive your grace and your love. We thank you, Lord. I pray blessing over this week for each one here. In Jesus' name, amen.